Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Terry. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org. All week long, this has been the thing that God's been placing on my heart for this morning. And that is, a lot of things came to this world with Christ. And we can make a big list, right? And I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm praising God. I thank you for this. I'm like, we sing a song called, "Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him." But I think sometimes we forget why we should come and adore Him to begin with. You know, we sing these carols and they become what? They become carols, right? They become things that we just sing at Christmas time because they're songs about His birth or have something to do with it. But man, let me tell you what, they are worship unto God. Why? Because we should adore a God. We should adore a Savior who by just coming into this world, God in the flesh, changes it forevermore. Guess what? God can change how you live your life. God can give you hope this morning. God can give you peace this morning. God can give you love that is greater than any love. He can let you experience things in Him that you never thought that you could experience. There's so many things that we can be thankful for this morning. He can change your circumstance. Do you believe that this morning? Say, "Steve, I'm broken." Oh, man, He loves the broken. "Steve, I'm lost this morning." He came for the lost. "Steve, I feel like I'm the least this morning." He came for you. Why? Because He can change your circumstance. He's awesome. He's a glorious, glorious God. And so we're going to talk about one of these ways that we are super excited. My clicker works. We are super excited about what God can do in our lives. Amen? So I came across a story when I'm talking about one of the reasons why we can celebrate, one of the reasons why we can cry out our hearts unto God, one of the reasons why we can worship is when Jesus came into this world, light came into this world with Him. This is a powerful truth. Amen? So what happens to us if when light came into the world, how did that impact our lives? Because it did. It can. Amen? When light came into the world, we can live differently because of what He has done for us. Because of who He is, we can. Amen? Come on, are we on the same page this morning? Because of who He is, we can. So God has shown me some powerful things, but I want to share your story. It captures this thought beautifully. James Dobson tells a story of an elderly woman by the name of Stella Thornhope. And she was facing her first Christmas without her husband, who died a few months earlier because of a slow developing cancer. So she was coming up this first Christmas without him. And she felt terribly alone. She felt down. She felt discouraged. And she thought, because of what I just lost, what is the purpose of decorating? What is the purpose of putting up lights, right? What is the purpose of all this? Have you ever been there before? And so she decided, "I'm leaving all the lights, I'm leaving everything down the basement." But later on that afternoon, in the midst of a brutal snowstorm, the doorbell rang and there was a delivery man at the door with a box. And he said, "Mrs. Thornhope," and she said, "Yes, that's me." And he said, "Would you sign here?" And so she invited him to come out of the cold, and so she signed the paper and she said, "What's in the box?" And the young man laughed and he opened up the flap, and inside of the box was a little dog, a little golden Labrador. And the delivery box guy, he picked up the pup and he said, this is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old. He's completely housebroken." And so she, of course, what do you think she asked? "Who is this from? You know, what in the world is this?" And so the young man set the animal down. He handed her an envelope and he says, "It's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." The young man then handed her a book, and in desperation, she asked again, "Who in the world sent me this dog?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband did, ma'am. Merry Christmas." So she opened the letter, and he had written in it 3 weeks before he died and left it with the owners of the dog to be delivered with the puppy at Christmas as his last gift for her. The letter was full of love. It was full of encouragement. There was admonishments in it to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for her, he was waiting for the day when she would join him, and he had sent this young animal to keep her company until that day came. She wiped away the tears. She put the letter down, and then remembering the dog at her feet, she picked it up and held it close to her neck. And then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the entire neighborhood, and she heard on the radio in the kitchen the song, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of peace washing over her. Her heart felt joy. It felt wonder. And guess what? She felt like God was greater than the grief and the loneliness that she had once experienced. As she spoke to the dog, she goes, "Little fella, it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down the basement that I bet you like. Has a Christmas tree, has lights, and things that would impress you. And there's a manger scene down there, so let's go and get that box and let's decorate." But here's the powerful truth of the story. God has a way of sending a signal of light to remind us life is stronger than death. That's what the whole story is about. Here is a widow. Here is a woman. First Christmas alone, facing grief, facing a loneliness, needing something to come into her life that could change it. Something to come into her life that could bring hope. Something to come into her life that could bring peace, right? Where there is no peace. Have you been there? Maybe you haven't lost somebody, but maybe you feel like you're walking around in darkness. Maybe you feel like that you don't have a plan or a purpose. Maybe you feel like this morning, church, that you'd rather be depressed this Christmas than anything else. Why bother? Why celebrate? Well, let me tell you what. God sent a son to come into this world, to step into your life and to change it around. Why? Because he can bring hope where there is no hope. He can bring peace where there is no peace. He can bring a love that's beyond anything you can match where there is no love. He can send a signal of light into your life that can change you forevermore. And can I tell you what? That's what happened on that day when he came into this world. Amen? We're going to look at a passage of Scripture here in John 4 and 5, or John 1, verse 4 and 5. Real simple verse, but powerful. If I can get there. There we go. John 1, 4 and 5. And this is what it says. And you can turn to it if you have your Bible. It's pretty powerful. "In him was life, and the life was the light of man." And it goes on. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Wow. Anyway, there's not the typical nativity story here in John, but let me tell you what, this is pretty good. In him, in who? In Christ was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wow. So we're going to look at three things in this passage of Scripture. My prayer is that it will awaken you to a truth this morning that maybe you've forgotten or maybe that you need to know. Why? Because I believe there's some people that God wants to shake and he wants to set free this morning. See, there's some powerful truths knowing that he is the light. You know? There are some powerful truths in there, and there's three that we are going to look at. The first one here is this. It comes right out of the very beginning of 1 verse 4. When Christ came to this world, his life came with him. His light always brings life. How many are excited about that? John 1 says, "In him was," real simple, four words, "in him was life." In him was real life. In him comes a changed life. Jesus is the life bringer. The one who was with God from the beginning, who John refers to as the Word or the personal Word of God through whom God spoke all things into existence. Guess what? He brought life into the world with Him. Life is one of the key themes in this very first part of John. John has two key themes that runs throughout his gospel. One is life. Why? That's important, isn't it? How many like to live? I like life. Can I tell you, 36 times in John's gospel, he talks about life. Over 25% of all references about life in the New Testament come from his gospel. It's a huge theme. And we see it in there. How do we see it through John's gospel? Well, Jesus is described as what? He's described as the bread of life, right? Right? Yes, he is, everybody. John 6, 35, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall what? Shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He said, he's what? He's the water of life, right? In John 4:10, Jesus answered who? The one with the well. If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying it to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you what? He would have given you living water. Life. He is the giver of life, John 6, 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and what? Gives life to the world. He is life. John 10, 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come what? That they might have life. And what kind of life? Have life what? Life came with Christ. Life is his gift. John 10, 28. I gave them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of them. I gave them eternal life. Jesus is, in fact, Christ is the life, right? John 11, 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall what? He shall live. Life. He is the life bringer. You know, we're going to get together with families. We're going to throw presents at each other. Some are going to throw a million presents at, you know, but can I tell you what? I am thankful that I have the greatest gift of life in Him. And He deserves for us to take a moment and to worship Him for being the life bringer. Amen? John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. What kind of life is He referring to? Get ready to say amen real loud. He was referring to eternal life. Amen? The gift of God through His Son. John is making the case that when Jesus came into this world, He brought eternal life with Him. What? Through a powerful, intimate relationship with His Son. Powerful. Guess what else? He is the light bearer. That's what it says. It says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of the man. Again, life and light, John's two themes. Guess what? Light is mentioned. If life was mentioned 36 times, light is mentioned 23 times. John links life with light. He says, Jesus is the light of the world, John 8:12. He came in the world as a light, John 12, 46. Anyone who follows Him will never walk in darkness but have the light of life. Is that a powerful truth this morning, church? People can believe in the light. Yes. They can. And here's what's so awesome. The light bearer is the life bringer. The life bearer is the life bringer. His light reveals what our life needs. We can't live without light. Ready for a science lesson? No? Okay, I'm moving on. We can't live without light. Okay? Do you know that light, or do you know the light that humans detect with our eyes is a tiny fraction of all the light that actually exists? Our existence in this world is dependent on light. We need it for food, right? Light is the sole source of food generation for all living organisms on the earth. Did you know that one? Now you do. And knowing is half the battle. Who said that? John. I wasn't going to go there, John. Except for some bacteria, almost all living things are dependent on light for their food and energy. Guess what? Light helps in the maintenance of temperature. I know so many people this week, when it started to go really cold, I'm sure you thought to yourself, I need more light in the form of fire in my house. So physical life is dependent on physical light. Physical life is dependent on physical life. Can we turn that into a spiritual truth? Spiritual life is dependent on spiritual light. They go hand in hand. They're meant to go hand in hand. And so here's what we see. The light bearer is the life bringer because what he was able to show us. His life was a light for everyone because he revealed God in his plans and showed us the way back to him. Right? Isn't that what he did? Through his word, right? He is the personal word of God. Right? Did he not show us a way to get back to God? How many of you felt being apart from God, walking all by yourself through this world, figuring out what's my plan, what's my purpose, where do I go? And I feel broken, right? How many have felt that before? But how many remember the day in which you realize, oh wait, there's a way that I can get back to God. There's a way that I can feel important again. There's a way that I can feel significant. There's a way, right? And then what? You see Jesus and you throw your life at his feet and you praise God for him and what? Your life feels changed? Did he reveal that to you at some point in time? If you remember your story, I remember my story. I remember the week at camp in Spring Mill Bible Camp when God showed me the importance of Jesus Christ. He revealed it to me. His light revealed what I needed in my life. What was a dark road, seemingly hard to find, became illuminated. His life was a light for everyone. Why? Because he revealed God's truth, nature, and power. God has an absolute truth for his people. How do I know this? Because guess what John says? John says that Jesus is the personal word of God. Do we absolutely believe in Jesus? Well, he is the word. If he is the truth, then he is the absolute truth. Absolutely true. His life was a life for everybody. He has a nature that will never change. How many thank for an immutable, unchanging God? Come on. He has a power more than any other. These were made available to all of us. Hallelujah. Man alive. Wow. God is so good. And we go more into this verse. His light shines always. To be honest with you, I was in my office trying to think of a really brilliant, really well-made point to this. As you know, you would read this point and just go, oh, that's so good. But it didn't happen. Why? Because this speaks for itself. Okay, this line in here, powerful, powerful. It says, his light shines. I'm not even going to read the rest of the verse because those few words right there mean two very, very important things. His light shines. The Greek words there are unbelievable. They have powerful implications. What's one of the first implications? I think, verse, if I mess this up, help me, okay? Because I mess a lot of things up when I preach. His light shines, reveals purpose. Okay? Where's my little flashlight? Presley gave me something this morning. I thought this would be perfect. If Tim was up there, I'd have him turn the lights off, but he's not, so thanks, Tim. Because this isn't going to work. Everybody see that? It's really lighting up the place, huh? But what's the purpose of a flashlight? So if Tim was to turn the lights off and it was really dark in here and everybody was scared, because, right, we're still afraid of the dark, or am I the only one? If it was dark, you would probably say what? Eventually you'd say, turn the light on. Okay? If it was real dark and you were at home and you would have a flashlight, right? I mean, something that you could turn on, even on your phone, right? There's a flashlight on your phone. There's a flashlight everywhere. But what happens if I don't ever turn this on? It just sits in my pocket. Does it really meet its purpose? Oh. It's still not a really great one, is it? Bam! Right? Tim, I turned it on now. That kind of backfired. It's supposed to be a lot better illustration. I forgot to tell Tim beforehand, but I think you get the point. The purpose of light is to shine. Okay? Jesus' light shines. It's meant to do two things. It's meant to illuminate. Christ can illuminate. Go to Ephesians 5, or you don't have to, but I'll read it for you. Ephesians 5, 13 through 14 says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And that is why Christ said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Christ brings clarification. Christ brings clarification. Have you ever walked in darkness, as in have you ever walked in confusion, in doubt? Ever been in a situation where you're like, I need an answer here. I don't know which way to go. There's 3 different ways, 4 different ways, 5 different ways. And you needed God to illuminate, to bring clarification on exactly what you needed in your life. His light shines. It meets its purpose. I was thinking about this morning. I don't know if you've ever been in this church at night when it's really dark and you don't turn the lights on. Well, I've been here over 10 years now. And I always think I'm so confident that I can run through this church and get up here and grab a guitar and run out without ever bumping into anything. And so one of the first year and a half that I was here, for some reason this altar is always right in this aisle. And so one night, I forgot something. I was back in youth room, and I'm like, okay, I don't need to turn the light on. I know exactly where I'm going. So I'm sprinting through the church. I know you're not supposed to run in church. When you forget something, you got to get it. So I'm sprinting through church. The light's off. I'm like, I don't need it. I know exactly where I'm going. And I am full on running as hard as I can. And guess what I forgot was right in the middle. And so you just see me like Olympic sprinting. You know, I'm doing this like I'm so fast. And then face plant into the stairs. I am thankful for the darkness because nobody saw me. Or at least I haven't heard yet, because I'm sure it would be the most laughable thing. But guess what I should have turned on to bring clarification on my path? A light. See, this says His light shines, which means His light does what it's supposed to do and will always do what it's supposed to do. It will bring clarification into your life. It will illuminate things. How many of you have wanted God just to illuminate something in your life and answer a situation, something you're like, God, please shine a light into this dark part of my life? How many of you have ever asked that before? His light shines. I know it's really simple, but it's very powerful. It does something else too. It says His light's meant to illuminate. And this is the one that we kind of, His light's meant to reveal. He makes things known that were previously unknown. How many need that? He revealed God's plan for us. He revealed the way we need to get back to Him. He revealed our spiritual condition and why we need Him. He reveals it. What does this mean? This means that Jesus did what He came to do. His light shines. He came to fulfill His purpose to set us free. Why? So that we can stay the way we are? No, so that we can live a life completely different. It also reveals something else. This brief phrase goes to its action. What's the action of light? Well, see, up until this point of Scripture, He's talking in the past tense. But when He gets up to this phrase, He goes into the present tense. And why does he do that? Because He's making the point of this is now and it is forever. This is a continual action. Guess what? Jesus' light will do what He came to do, what He's supposed to do, and He will always do what He came to do. His light is continual. It never stops. It never ceases. I came to church this morning and I had no idea that this flashlight was on in my pocket. And so I'm walking through here and I get to a mirror, you know, because I got to make sure my tie is at least halfway straight. I see this light. I'm like, what in the world's in my pocket? It's a flashlight. But at some point in time, if I left it in my pocket, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. See, God showed me this in a powerful way. See, there's a lot of things we use to illuminate our lives. See, light is the source of light, right? So light is the source of our life. There's a lot of things that we like to take Christ's light and we like to put something else in there. And how He showed this to me is He showed me with a compass. And if I had my phone, I have a compass on my phone. I was on vacation with my brother and we were in the mountains. He's like, where we need to go? I'm like, well, let me get my compass out, brother. And guess what? My compass is always going to show me. North. It's going to show me the way that we need to go. It's going to bring clarification to where we are and illuminate where we need to go. What happens when we when, if God is that compass, we remove that compass and we put something else in his place to give us direction and clarification. We're not going to get to where he wants us to go. If he's the one that illuminates, if he is the one that reveals, if he is the one that brings with him life, and we take him out of his spot and we put something else, if we put money as the ultimate source of life, money's great. Hallelujah. But it's not the source of life for us. Relationships are great, man. I'm so thankful that I have wonderful relationships with this church and with this people. But guess what? Relationships at the place where God is, at where Jesus, if it replaces Jesus, that's not going to get you where you need to go. That will not fulfill you like he can. Right? We can go through this long line of things. Whatever replaces God is not going to get you where you need to go. When he becomes the center, when he becomes the light, when he becomes the one that gives you direction and guidance and illumination and clarification, guess what? He's going to get you where you need to go in life. See, these other things, eventually what? They have the appearance of they will meet your need. But eventually you'll find out what? That they don't. And you'll throw one away and you put the other one in that spot and you'll think, well, this one will do it. And guess what? Eventually it will not. And you grab another one. Well, if those two things didn't, guess what? Well, I'm going to do it again. This will be it. No. Remove those things today and put Jesus where he needs to be. Let him be the source. Watch what happens to your life. Watch. It's powerful. And it never, ever, ever stops. This is why Jesus declared to the world in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, where he was standing when he said this was a powerful truth. He was standing in the commonplace place of worship in the temple. It was during the Feast of Tabernacles. And something happens at the beginning of that feast. They have these huge candelabras that they lit. And at that time in Jerusalem, when those things were lit, people could see it. Okay, everybody could see it. And so here's Jesus. Just imagine this, and I wish I had a picture. Here is Jesus in the common place of worship which he usually taught, where people could be around him. And everybody knows what these lights mean. And so he's looking at these lights, and he's talking to them. He's like, you know what? These lights are nothing compared to the light that I am. He declared to him, say, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me, and what he say, will never walk in darkness, but what? But have the light of life. He declared it himself. John wrote it. He declared it. He is the light of the world. To where everybody could see. Everybody at that time knew exactly what he was saying. It's hard for us to let because we're not there, but I'm telling you what, he's still making that declaration in this room. I am the light of the world. Guess what? If you want to get away from darkness, follow me. Hook up to me. Connect with me. Have a relationship with me. It's a powerful promise. Don't fear because he's the light of the world. And there's a third thing here. This one should already produce shouting. His light always overcomes the darkness. Always. The light shines in the darkness, and here's how it's written in John, the darkness has not overcome it. I tell you right now, there's a big contrast between light and dark. It's not the same thing. I know, you know, we're all like, yeah, Steve, I know, I turn light off and it's dark. Turn light on, there's light. Well, sometimes we forget that light is meant to oppose the dark. It's meant to. It always will. They aren't the same thing. They're not supposed to be in tandem with one another. Guess what? There was a lot of darkness when Christ was born. Go back to that moment, and guess what? Jesus Christ was born into a world of what? Of Roman occupation. Right? There was a leader. They took a local guy by the name of Herod, who was a clever politician, and they put him to rule over. He was such a cruel and constantly a suspicious politician that he had three of his own wives and sons killed. What a mess. Was there not darkness there? His massacre and how he ruled was so dark that did not Jesus have to flee and his family? But Jesus came into the world to change all that. It was dark. It's incredibly dark now. In our life, right? Read a headline. Watch 24-hour news. You realize how much darkness that there is. There's this going on, rumors of wars here, right? There's darkness all around, but guess what? Jesus came into the world, and the darkness can never overcome His light. Never! Never! Listen to this. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, talking about the coming of Jesus, His birth. It says, oh wait, I have it up there. You guys can read. Oh, verse, you're so good. I might have changed it on you. This is what it says. It says, but there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into a contempt the land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he was made glorious, the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, or Galilee of the nations. And I read this next part. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Years upon years before he ever came to this world. It's a, guess what? You think that you're going to be in darkness, but guess what? There's going to come a light that's going to change everything. That light still shines. Still. Always will. And I did not put His light will always overcome the darkness. I put His light always overcomes the darkness. And there's importance there. Will is something that you think is still, right? But guess what? This points to the cross. This points to the cross. Why? It points to Christ's ultimate victory at the cross, where light and dark were in conflict and darkness could not prevail. What happened at the cross was final. Final. That means it was finished. It is done. The victory there still is moving throughout our hearts and our lives. The victory He received there is the victory now. His light always, always, always. There is not a darkness dark enough to keep light out. Right? You could be, I've been in a cave at Spring Mill before at night. I don't know why I was even there at night, but I was there. And it was dark. We were in a part of the cave where we saw no light. For some reason, we thought it was a great idea to go to where no light was to be found, and nobody brought a flashlight. That points to my ignorance, I know. Somebody said, yeah. My point is, guess what happens when it was at camp, actually. We had some good counselors at Spring Mill Bible Camp, let me tell you. Eventually, a counselor walks, and guess what happens? He flicks a flashlight on. We knew exactly where to go. No matter how dark it was, it does not matter. It cannot keep light out. It can't. As instant as God spoke light into existence at creation, light came into the world, and darkness cannot overcome it. Not the darkness of sin. Not the darkness of the enemy. Not hopelessness. Not loneliness. Not lostness. Not depression. Not oppression. Not confusion. Not doubt. Not your iniquities, your fallacies, your error, your sin. Right? Nothing can overcome His light. It won the ultimate victory, and it's still shining. No matter how dark darkness is, Christ will always overcome it. No matter. So where do we go from here? I want the worship team to come and get ready this morning. I know this is kind of a simple thing that we can hold on to. But man, I believe very strongly it's for some people here this morning. There's some of you right now, you think, Steve, I am lonely. I'm in grief. I'm hurting. I am broken. I'm chained up. I'm bound up. I need a God to move. I am hopeless. I don't know what to do, where to go. I don't know who is on my side. I don't know how all this can change. Well, I know. I know. God can change your circumstance. See, we sing songs like, Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him. Because what He has done forever changed our lives. Forever. Complete. Powerfully. Unbelievably. Changed our lives. When we sing a song like that, it starts to well up within us. Man, we should rise to our feet, or we should, however God moves in you, we should be moved. Why? Because it is true. I am forever changed by God. The light that came in the world brought life with it and changed my life. And if you are in one of those places this morning, really, you can be in one of two places. First, you can say, Steve, I don't think I've ever been in the light. Well, guess what? It's time to get in the light this morning. Here's what he says in John 8 again. He says, when Jesus spoke again as the people, he said, I am the light of the world. And here's the part that you need to hold on to. He says, Steve, I'm in darkness. Well, listen to this. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You want to be out of darkness. Get connected to Christ this morning. If you're ready for your circumstance to change, guess what? Your place is up here. He can change it. Darkness will leave because he's already won that victory for your life. Receive it this morning. Steve, I'm in darkness. Man, let's change it this morning. If you're all, Steve, my life has changed. Can I tell you a way that you can celebrate His light? His light is meant to be reflected by us. His light is meant to be reflected by the believers. Here's what it says in Matthew 5, 14, 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We reflect the light of God to a world in darkness. Guess what? You're going to be around a bunch of people this holiday season, I think. I don't know your story. I don't know your plans. But some of you will go to 10,000 Christmases at 10,000 houses. And your light should be reflected no matter where you go. Why? Because when you follow Him, you will never be in darkness. Which means what? His light is constantly reflecting off your light. Which means what? You go into a dark situation, guess what they're going to see? They're not going to see you. Hopefully they're going to see Jesus Christ. We can celebrate Him by saying, Steve, my light is going to invade the darkness. The light that Christ is reflecting off me is going to change. It's going to be powerful. Right? Is that a good response? No, Steve, it's not. I think it is. No matter where I go, I want His light to shine through my life. And I'm not going to hide it because I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not. And we shouldn't be either.